Access Show.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
On your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 1035. Here's your host, Scott Ledger.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year to everybody. Buccaneers Total Access. The State of the Union Address is what we're going to call this one. As we welcome in, and Jack Harris, who helps us out on the pregame show, likes to say the architect and design engineer and every other accolade you can get. Mark Dominic, first of all, good to see you. And this is going to be a lot of fun and get a chance to pick your brain. Welcome to Buccaneers Total Access.
Happy to be on the show. I'm a regular listener, so it's actually good to be on there. And nice to sit next to you, legend, and talk a little Buccaneer ball right now.
You know, before we talk about this wonderful roster and this depth chart and the great season that we've had, I have to ask you, I'm kind of curious. 2 years ago when you sat down with the Glazers and an idea was implemented, was it your idea that you gave in the interview, as in, if I'm hired, I want to do this with the Bucks, or did they come to you and say, hey, we want to go like we did back in 96? Who's original? In other words, what's taking place was discussed. Was that you in an interview, or was that them saying, Mark, we hired you, now we want you to do this?
I think it's a combination. You know, I think the most important thing was from just talking to them and kind of having been in the pro department for so many years here and being part of the organization.
14 years, by the way.
Right. It was, how did we do it in the past? And in my feeling and my opinion, and I think that was obviously sentimented and felt the same way by ownership, was let's rebuild this football team to give a chance to get back to where this team was when we were a great football team from really 99 to 2003 with an opportunity to win a Super Bowl every year. And the idea was we've got to go through youth. And those were tough conversations because we obviously had to make a lot of difficult decisions early on that we knew, Coach Morris and I myself knew, that weren't going to be popular at the time. But we felt like we had to do that to get this football team back on track to where we wanted to be long term. And, you know, so those were kind of the discussions that were had, and certainly those were echoed by ownership in terms of what we're looking for in this football team and where do we want to grow. And we wanted to grow not only on the football field but back off the football field within our community. We wanted to get our players back, get their hands into the community. Adam Hayward today was nominated for, you know, the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. Those are kind of – that's what we wanted to be, and that's what we want to do, and that's what we've been focusing on since day one.
It's been a wonderful experience of being around you guys the last couple of years when you and Coach Raheem Morris came in, and you and I went down to MacDill Air Force Base, and I know you're real big about the military, and you've constantly talked about making sure that the players aren't just these guys on an ivory tower that show up for 3 hours a week and disappear, but they are part of the Tampa Bay community, and it's you really see it, because when I interview the players, they'll say, oh, yeah, I was over here. We did what the O-line does.
Turkey
time with the O-line and a lot of different things. But when you're going to build a winner in this league, and I, by the way, heard you on the radio earlier today. I think it was a national show somewhere. I'm going up and down the radio dial. I go, wait a minute, I know that guy. and you were not heaving accolades on Josh Freeman, but you were talking about that's the cornerstone of your football team.
No question. And that's the main thing. When Coach Morris, we sat down and talked, the number one thing that Coach Morris turned to me and the number one thing I agreed with him was, to have long-term success in the National Football League, you have to have a quarterback. I think somebody just threw out a stat today about Peyton Manning. If the Colts win this weekend, it'll be 9 straight years they've been in the playoffs. I mean, that's no big surprise considering who their leader is and who the guys that's pulling the trigger on their football team. So we were fortunate because we knew that first draft class, we had an opportunity to get a quarterback depending on what we wanted to do. And certainly there were quarterbacks available. And we were really actually blessed that Raheem actually went to K-State, obviously knew Josh Freeman, had worked around him as a freshman in college, and seen how important football was. And if you can remember your freshman year in college, it's hard to focus just on college. He came in there and was the leader on that football team, was a starter, you know, played with some really great players like Jordy Nelson, and took that team to a bowl game. And Coach Morris got to see the daily interaction of Josh Freeman, how he prepared, how he studied, who the kid was at that time, 17, I want to say 17 years old, 18 years old. And that was a big determination of why we traded up to go get Josh Freeman, to make sure we didn't lose a guy that we felt like we could build this entire franchise around.
You brought in, you know, sometimes you have a quarterback around, but you usually keep an old grizzly veteran quarterback, kind of that tutor. But you went a different route. You decided to bring in a QB coach to Alex Van Pelt. And Josh has talked about his development being accelerated. It's kind of a two-part question. Yeah. Let's talk about what Ole and VP did for him. But also, how much dedication did number five put in the offseason to get where he's at this year?
It's a combination of all of them. You know, Greg Olsen was a phenomenal quarterback's coach prior to being an offensive coordinator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He's been offensive coordinator elsewhere as well. But he had a chance to obviously work with Drew Brees. That's the first time I ever met Greg Olsen. Was actually back at Purdue when Drew Brees was coming out. And Chris Daniels was a wide receiver that we actually had here, who was a local product who was on our team for a little bit. And Drew Brees was there, and I knew Coach Olsen at that time. I had a chance to sit and talk to him a little bit that day and just picked his brain and just listened to him about how he talked about quarterbacks then. And knowing who he's worked with through his career already, we knew that he would be a great fit for Josh. You know, the only thing we felt like we let Josh down last year was that Olsen had so much to do last year. And he spent, obviously, as much time as he could be with the quarterbacks. But in the offseason, when we had the opportunity to add a guy like Alex Van Pelt, who I got to see actually as a player in Kansas City when I first started my career with the Chiefs, he was actually playing and backing up Joe Montana. Then he went to Buffalo and he backs up Jim Kelly. And then he goes quarterback's coach,
nice offensive coordinator.
Yeah, it's been nice tutelage, and you got to work with a lot of great guys. And Alex has seen it from so many different perspectives. He's seen it now as a player, as a starter, as a coach, as a quarterback coach. He was an offensive coordinator. And then you got Josh, who's a tireless worker and is willing to be a sponge in the building from coaches, from players, and just listen and see what he can learn from anybody. And then he puts the time and the work ethic into the program. And we're seeing those results now from when a guy that started last year late in the season or halfway through the season throws 10 touchdowns, has the 18 picks, to turn it around to where he is today with 23 touchdowns and only 6 interceptions. That's a fantastic combination of great coaching and a player that's hungry and does all the right things in the offseason and is doing all the right things in the season.
You know, we'll have to talk about IR, but I think one of the most impressive things about Josh is kind of like with Manning. You get those receivers in there. They're not necessarily interchangeable. I mean, it's hard to replace a Marvin Harrison type if he goes on IR, but you bring in the next guy, and if he runs the right pattern, your quarterback hits the open man. And Josh had 10 guys catch a pass last week. Prior week, he had 11 different people. So it's tough to lose a player to IR, and we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But we've seen this wonderful depth chart that I have in front of me. We've seen, like, Desmond Briscoe is a perfect example, steps up last week. As next man up, catches a couple of nice passes. So Josh being able to find the open man, not playing favorites and locking on receivers, I think is a huge part of his progression.
And that's tough because you got Kellen Winslow who wants to catch the ball every play.
Throw to him every play.
That gets tricky, but, you know, Josh does. He does it. And I think when you see exactly what your stat is, when you see a guy that can complete 11 balls in 1 week to different targets and 10 balls last week to different, that shows a quarterback that can really scan the football field and find the open receiver. And it also saying that Eric Yarber and those receivers that are playing for us are finding ways to get open, or tight ends, or certainly the backs. LeGarrette Blount had the catch last week as well. Preston Parker came with a great third-down catch that really helped to drive along.
And Maurice Stovall, too.
And Mo comes in and scores a touchdown, finds his way back in the end zone again. So the guys really, you know, it's been important for us to have receivers that can grow with our quarterback. You know, I know we've talked about it a little bit before, but when you think of great quarterbacks and you think of the tandems they've had at wide receiver and who they are, that's what the element, that's what we want to have here. And we felt like this draft class provided that along with Sammy Strouder, and obviously now you have a Preston Parker who's worked himself in there, Desmond Briscoe, but then you got Aurelius Ben and certainly Mike Williams.
Josh is an alternate for the Pro Bowl, as well as the man you inked just before preseason started, Donald Penn. You got to keep your quarterback upright. Donald stepped up. You gave him a big contract, proving again that you guys will pay the money when players earn it, and I think that's a fabulous statement for this team. But then talk a little about inking Donald, but the same day I remember his press conference, I also remember Gerald McCoy's press conference, and you found your cornerstone for your defense there too.
Yeah, that was a long 48 hours for myself and Digger Daly. We were running through contracts back and forth because the Gerald McCoy deal alone I think was about a 50-page document, which was a lot of work, and then Donald Penn really kind of came together in the final 48 hours. And that's been the most impressive thing, and that's what you're most proud about as an organization. When a guy gets a big contract, and Donald Penn took it to heart and said, I'm going to prove that I'm worth every penny. And it is really disappointing that Donald's not represented in the Pro Bowl. I'm glad he's an alternate, so maybe he has a chance to get in. But he's had that type of season, and so has Josh. I mean, for Josh to be an alternate at this point in his career, you know, it's only his second year, and he's an alternate already for the Pro Bowl. And we have a lot of great quarterbacks in the NFC right now. I'm really proud of both of them, and certainly Kellen's come through with another fantastic season for our Buccaneers. I know he said another, I think he's number two now, second most receptions in Buccaneer history at the tight end in a single season. So he continues to get in the record books with what we've done offensively here. So those three players have been good, but I've been really proud of Penn and how he's played all season long.
The process of building an offense and a defense, it takes a while when you're rebuilding a team, and we'll get to some of your individual picks, and we'll talk about this wonderful thing called the second draft. Don't play video games with Mark Dominic, because this guy is going to be he's like a barracuda laying in the weeds. He's gonna if you leave something loose hanging, Cincinnati found out the hard way, Tennessee found out the hard way, and this is a competitive league. We already have Eric and Sean standing by. We'll be getting you guys. Let's get everybody. I believe we have a full boatload already. 813-990-4620-727-461-4620. 1-800-596-BUCKS. Mark Dominic will sit down and take your questions. We're going to hit a break and come back. Full boatload of phone calls. Bring it. As Mark Dominic will sit down and answer your questions. We'll talk about the wonderful season of Mike Williams, LeGarrette Blount. Wow, there's so many players to get to. Let's get to them when we come back. Right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
All right, guys, we want to get to as many people on the phone. We'll mix you and me with questions, and by the time Mark's out of here, he's going to be heading for the cold tub. To use a player's expression, how's that sound?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll go to Eric first. You're on with Mark Dominic. Eric, welcome to Buccaneers Total Access.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Mark, I had a question for you, man. You've shown a great ability to scout players in later rounds. Obviously, we started 10 rookies this year, and we're on the cusp of winning 10 games. And I was wondering, you've been in the league several years, and throughout your career, who was most influential in the way that you scout players? Who taught you to do things this way? And I'll take your answer off the air. Thanks.
Well, thanks, Eric. You know, there's been a lot. I've been really fortunate here in Tampa, and really it started with Kansas City. There was a couple guys in Kansas City, Mark Hatley, who I started my career with, who's unfortunately passed away, and Terry Bradway were two early mentors that I had a chance to work with. Since I've been with the Bucs and in Kansas City, I've had a chance to now work with 10 head coaches and 7 different general managers that have been groomed through or had a chance to work with. And Jerry Angelo was a big part of some of my thoughts and how to build a roster. And Jerry's key thing that I've said publicly a couple times was, don't tell me what the problem is. Find me a solution to the problem. And everybody can have an opinion of something that's not working, but tell me why or who can make it work. He was a big part of it. You know, I'd also say, Bruce taught me a lot of things about the salary cap and how to work through the salary cap. But I'd say Jerry, Hatley, Bradway, we've had a lot of great personnel guys here in Tampa. You know, with obviously Tim Ruskell's gone on. He went on to Seattle, was the general manager there. Jerry's still the general manager in Chicago. And so Rustin Webster is the vice president down in Tennessee right now. So we've had a lot of great guys and really a lot of great area scouts that maybe never got their shot all the way through. In fact, we brought one back that's been part of our organization back in the 90s, Mike Jaworski, who's one of our area scouts, who always was a good mentor too. So I've been good and fortunate to work around a lot of good guys. And what I do is I'm a journaler. I take a lot of notes from different people, and it could be coaches, it could be general managers, it might be Ledge says something here tonight that's really impactful.
Oh, yeah, I'm prophetic. Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'd run with that.
But I put it in a journal, and every year I try to go back and read through that journal and think about things that people said about how to build an organization, how to build a football team, and those things ring true.
You know, chemistry, I've interviewed almost every player on your team, and I've also interviewed players on this team, 5-6 years ago. It was a different regime, a lot of older guys, veterans, and there's just a wonderful chemistry in this football team. And it takes me back to my rec sports or when I was younger, and we were buddies, and everybody looked out for each other, and everybody had each other's back, and everybody was a friendly competition amongst each other to excel, but there was no jealousy or envy. And there's a wonderful chemistry in this young football team. Was that part of the plan?
No, it was. It was a lot of who the guy was and what was his makeup. And I think our scouts, they hit the road pretty hard. We put them on the road a long time. And really, Dennis Hickey's come through with the East-West and the Senior Bowl, where we spend a ton of time that some other clubs don't do in interviewing players, not just at the Combine, but at the All-Star Games, whether it's Texas versus the Nation or mm-hmm. it's an East-West Shrine or it's going to be certainly a Senior Bowl. We buy hotel rooms and we bring players in and we sit down with them, talk to them as long as we can to get to know them to see will they fit in the chemistry of this football team. Because exactly what you said, those teams that we had in the late 90s, you can't really recreate that, but you want to recreate that atmosphere, that chemistry. And I think we're really doing that because I'd agree. This team's having a lot of fun together and a lot of youth, but a lot of good guys that really enjoy their company. And that makes for a better locker room. That makes for better practice. And it makes us better on Sundays.
You got it. Sammy Strotter said it the other day. He said, that the wide receiver room has a healthy competition, but, man, when someone catches a touchdown, when you see those guys in the end zone celebrating, they're truly happy for that individual player. And that's just a great thing to be around because I think we've seen the divas. We've seen what happened in Cincy. this year. And sometimes, you know, Washington, different teams try to stroke a big check and bring in a couple of guys, and sometimes it's just the wrong recipe and it just doesn't gel well. Is when you and Coach Morris, we're talking about how to build your team. And Sean, stand by, because I know you have a rebuilding question. We'll get to you. Gary, Bob, and Jamie, stand by. We're coming to you. Not just talent and filling the X's. You know, we need this type player here. We need this type player here. Was that really the idea of the is it the new business model for the Bucks? I guess, is a better way to put it. You know, build through the draft. Keep that, you know, once you stock the team, you're competitive year in and year out.
No, I thought a couple things. We really wanted to go in and build it through the draft, and I think it's a cliche thing to say, but it's something that we were really dedicated in doing. And obviously 2009 was part of the foundation, certainly with Josh Freeman, and really Roy Miller was a big part of the foundation because of who he is, his work ethic, and just his character on and off the football field as a defensive side of the ball. Those two guys were a big part of our foundation and some of that 2009 draft class and some of those players. But 2010 was where we really wanted to put a lot of emphasis. And so last year, right after the 2009 class draft was over, we started doing everything we could to acquire picks because we felt like there was going to be a high quality of underclassmen that were also going to leave early for school, plus a solid senior class. And so we traded Byron Leftwich or Luke McCown and Alex Smith and certainly Gaines Adams and tried to acquire as many picks as we could.
How many did you end up with, to refresh our memories?
To go into the draft, we started out with 11 picks. We came out with 9, picked up a pick for next year. But we didn't want the draft to end either. But right now we sit here with I think it's 25 players out of the 2010 class on this roster in some capacity, and they're going to be a big part along with 2009 and some of the veterans that we've had here that have continued to play well, like a Rondé Barber, are going to be part of what we're doing going forward. And that's what's exciting about what's being built here, and that's why we're really proud of what they're doing, especially the coaching staff and working with all these young guys.
That's Mark Dominic, general manager of the Bucks. Want to talk to him? Sean, Gary, Bob, and Jamie, you're in line. We've got a couple of open lines behind them at 813-990-4620 or 727-461-4620. Sean, you are next on Buccaneers Total Access with Mark Dominic. Go ahead, bro.
First of all, I got it. One comment and then two questions. My comment would be great job so far on the rebuilding that we've experienced over the last couple of years. But back when you started looking into doing it, how did you determine which players were going to make the cut and which players you needed to get rid of? Specifically, how do you decide to keep someone like a Rondé Barber that's a little older and get rid of a Derek Brooks? And then my other question would be is, do you target specific college programs based on schemes and personnel that they like to have when you're looking to go forward in the draft?
Well, I think you got a couple good questions, Sean. And first, you know, I'm a big believer in the tape, and I know that sounds simplistic, but we study and we really spend a lot of time watching tape within the organization. I spend a ton of time watching tape within the organization. All of our scouts do, our coaches do. And so when we made the tough decisions with this organization, we went to the tape and said, what is the tape telling us? And knowing that some of those decisions were certainly not going to be, the most popular ones, but we really felt like Rondé Barber was still playing good football for this football team, and he certainly has the last 2 years in a row now. And you can't tell me whether Rondé's 35 or 30 if you watch him on the football field. So we go to the tape and really let the tape, you know, they always say the eye in the sky doesn't lie, and I'm a big believer in that. And to the point of, you know, I'm not a big believer in going to pro days when it comes to college. A lot of people go to the pro days at the University of Miami. We send our scouts there, but I want to sit back at home. I want to sit back in my office. I want to watch more tape because if the guy runs 4.74 at the combine but plays 4.64, I really don't care what he ran at the combine. Mm-hmm. And so I try to stay away from those things trying to influence my opinion of the player or our opinion of the player. In terms of college programs, no, but I do know that Josh Freeman was fortunate to work in more of a pro-style offense. You know, the Big 12 certainly is a spreads type of system, but Josh was actually tutelaged and groomed in more of a pro-style type of offense, which helped us feel like he could adapt and be accelerated in his learning curve to the National Football League. But we don't actually focus on what a team does defensively if they run kind of what we did. We didn't focus on, let's say, Tennessee players last year with Monty Kiffin or an offensive system that's kind of close to what Coach Olson does. Again, we go back to the tape and just say, how can this guy fit into what we ask him to
do? That skill set. Well, a perfect example of two different systems is Mike Williams at Syracuse, Regis over at Illinois,
right?
Slightly different, and then, you know, the accelerated learning curve for one and the slightly slower or, you know, then eventually once he gets it, then the athleticism takes over. And I don't want to derail what we're talking about because the IR thing is kind of a negative, positive thing, but we'll get to it. But the guys have been hanging on. Let's go to Bob Bob's in Cincinnati, Ohio, by the way, and Bob wants to talk about football that's taking place this Sunday. How you doing, Bob?
Mark, just a couple of comments and a quick question. First of all, I think that you guys have done an excellent job down there of preparing this team and getting them ready, and they're awful young, and you guys have adhered to that next man up theory and philosophy, and it's paid out real well. And going into the New Orleans game, do you feel like we're going to be able to run the ball a little bit better on them going into New Orleans? And also, as you've come along so humbly at beginning as a as an intern to get to the general manager's job, how do you like this rock star status?
Yeah. Someone's been reading your press.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Thanks, Bob. I appreciate it. Hey, listen, we're looking forward to, obviously, the most important thing right now that we're doing in week 17 is we have an opportunity with this young football team to have a chance at the playoffs. And I think that experience alone and the hope and what we can do is really important. And to play the reigning Super Bowl champions who just came off a fantastic Monday night victory for them is exactly the type of football we want to play, because the NFC South is going to be here for a while. Drew Brees isn't going away, and certainly Matt Ryan's not, and we'll see what Carolina does with that number one pick. But these are the people we've got to beat, and these are the people that we have to improve upon in terms of if we want to get to where we want to get. So, you know, we're looking forward to it, and I do think we can hopefully run the ball. You know, last time LeGarrette wasn't quite up to speed with where we wanted him to be offensively, so he was inactive against the Saints. So he'll be a part of that game plan. But, I know our coaches, they're back there right now and walking by their offices. They've got game tape on, and they're kind of looking at formulating their game plan. They certainly had a good practice today. We'll have our last regular season practice tomorrow in shells, and we're hoping that we have some more practices the next week. But it's been good, and you know, we're really looking forward to the game this weekend, because we obviously went there last year, had success, but this is a different group of people.
10 games is use the word springboard into next year is a wonderful springboard. Boy, good calls tonight. Mike in Palm Harbor, stand by. David, you're on deck too. Jamie, we're coming to you next. You're on with Mark Dominic. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, Latch, and you?
Thank you very much. I'm doing wonderful.
All right, great. First off, Mark, I want to say thank you and congratulate you for such a great job you've done with our team here. When I'm talking with my friends about sports, I'm always saying that our general manager does not get enough credit for such a great team that you've put together here. And my first question is, I'd like to know, basically, what is your number one thing of, I guess, how you would evaluate a player? Would it be the system that he's coming from, cohesiveness, or just watching the tape like you were talking about earlier? What would be the number one thing? And then the second thing is, if you could maybe give us a little background of, like, how you came to the ranks.
Not a problem, Jamie. Thanks for the question, and thanks for the comments. And you know, for me, from a scouting standpoint, a couple top things that I always look at, and I think they're easy to say, athletic ability plays into it dramatically. That's a knee bender, a guy that can really drop his weight, those kind of things, and leverage. I'm a huge functional strength guy. You know, again, you can go to the combine and you can bench press, you know, 26 reps, and you may be able to squat an offensive guard. I mean, Warren Sapp was the epitome of that, where he didn't have a great combine bench rep, but everybody could never block Warren Sapp. You know, we do that a lot with, you know, the decisions to draft Aurelius Ben into Mike Williams, and certainly to claim LeGarrette Blount, where those guys make huge yards after contact. And that's such a hidden yardage in the National Football League. Those and special teams yards are the two biggest hidden yardages in the National Football League and really can determine the outcome of a game.
LeGarrette leads all backs in that category, by the way.
That's exactly right. And what it is, it's after the initial contact, how much strength can they fight through a tackle to get 5, 10, 20, whatever it is. And those are kind of the traits that I really look at when I watch a player. And that's the same thing as a tackler. You know, there's been a few guys that we weren't able to draft or that we followed through that we weren't able to have that we really liked also, that were real functional strength guys on defense as well, in terms of how physical they were, how much strength and power they brought into their tackles, how many yards did the opponent get after they hit them.
Sure.
And so we really look at athletic ability, and I would say functional strength. You know, as for me, a quick try to go through it. I obviously got an opportunity at sports management at the University of Kansas, got an internship with the Chiefs.
Give me a year.
My internship was 1994.
There you go.
And then it was with the Chiefs up through the 95 draft. Came down here in the summer of 1995, heard about an opening, came down and interviewed actually with Rich McKay and Jerry Angelo, and basically was a pro personnel assistant, which is a glorified way to say you were a GA in the National Football League. Spent a lot of years here in the pro scouting side, worked my way up to, I think, coordinator of pro scouting back in around 99, 2000 to the director of pro in about 2001, and then stayed as director of pro up until the opportunity that was given to me 2 years ago. But it's been a really great journey because I've seen so many different guys, and not only just guys I've worked with, but different players. And, you know, having a chance to have been around, obviously, John Lynch and Mike Allstott and certainly Derek Brooks and Warren Sapp, but some of the other guys, the Jason Odoms of the world, you know, the guys that some people kind of forget that are fantastic characters and good guys on and off the football field. And that's been really important to me.
Let me ask you, when you're looking at film, you're not just looking at a guy who can make a catch. You're looking at a wide receiver who's downfield, making sure he gets his blocks, so not taking plays off. Because film doesn't lie no matter what you're looking at. So when you're looking at the character of players, sometimes, you know, even though the ball's not coming to him, it's like, what's he doing on that play, that type of thing. Right?
No, that's a great lead into Mike Williams. I think he showed that two things. In college, Mike showed the propensity to want to block in college. But one thing that Mike also did, which is from a scouting standpoint, is if there was a turnover, I think he had three tackles on interceptions last year. That shows you a really competitive young man. That was actually something that I really learned from Marty Schottenheimer. He was a big believer in what does the guy do after an interception. That was part of the reason why they drafted actually Will Shields with the Chiefs, who was a phenomenal football player. But that's a big trait. And then you saw last week where it parlayed into LeGarrette Blount's long run, and here's Mike Williams 40 yards, 50 yards down the field trying to block.
And that's exactly – several of those long runs this year have been specifically on the heels of Mike Williams throwing great blocks or Regis Bennett at the time as well. So because, you know, it's a full-time gig. As maybe Terrell Owens should pay a little bit more attention to, but that's all right. We're going all the way out to Cedar Falls. We got people listening all over the place. We're going to David. David, you're on with Mark Dominic on Buccaneers Total Access. How you doing, bro?
Very good. Thank you very much for taking my call. And first of all, I just want to congratulate Mr. Dominic on just doing a terrific job and let you know that even though I'm up here, a lot of my friends are fans of other team, and they've really been impressed with job you're doing and what the young Bucks are doing. So
well, thanks, David. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah, so you're getting noticed. And the question I wanted to ask is really the contract status for really yourself and Coach Morris, and really specifically for the assistant coaches. I know the certainty of the bargaining agreement, but as best you can, I'd like to ask you to comment on that. So thank you very much for taking my call.
Thanks for your support up there in Cedar Falls. That's fantastic. And, you know, around the building, there's a lot of – I wouldn't say there's any uneasiness. This coaching staff has really bonded and really worked well together. And you know, we've walked around today and kind of were laughing about an article that was written and sitting there saying there's no one in this building that's really concerned about what's going on. I think we all feel like this unit and this group that we have is going together, is working cohesively as a group, both from a scouting, front office slash coaching, and that's such an important – concept to have both people on the same page, both sides or both units working together.
Same
for the
vision,
success.
Same goals.
That's
sure.
Exactly right. So yeah. It's really not a concern right now, and I think everybody understands. There's 31 other teams that have coaches or people that are coming out of contract in the next month or so or whenever the season ends. And so it's not a problem within our building, and I'm sure once the season's over and the dust settles a little bit, we'll take care of business here in the organization and continue to get this ship going exactly the direction we want it to go, which is where it's headed.
Nothing that you have any power over, but the CBA, if it goes a little, if the negotiations last a while, we're going to still see a draft, correct? We will still see a draft?
Yes, there will be a draft this year, no matter what.
But after the draft, any of the OTA, that kind of stuff, if there's no CBA in place, that won't be taking place. That's correct?
Yeah, it's hopeful, but you can't sit really and comment on it too much other than the fact that I know that no matter what, there will be a 2011 draft class, and certainly we'll be spending a lot of time trying to take advantage of that class as well.
And I'm not a good poker player, but I don't want you to tip your hand. But when we come back, we could talk a little about what you might be peeking at, or not necessarily any positions, because I know sometimes you want to kind of let everybody else know what you're thinking going into the draft.
No, we could talk about it all you want. I just won't tell you everything.
All right. Good. All right, guys, stand by. We're coming back, taking more of your phone calls. Got some open lines, 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, 1-800-596-BUCKS. Get on the phone lines. Ask Mark Dominic your question. You can talk about specific players and the progress of some of our guys on IR. We'll come back and also talk about that as well, as the Buccaneers, the youngest team in football. Next man up, man, I got to get me a next man up t-shirt, because that really is the goal around here this year. It's been a wonderful ride for the Bucks, and we're not done yet. If the Giants can help us out a little by not playing good football, if the Packers can lose and we take care of business in New Orleans, we might be talking about the playoffs. I know I said the P word in front of you.
It's all good.
We're coming back right here on Buccaneers Total Access on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
You're listening to Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
All right, guys, welcome back. Buccaneers Total Access taking a whole bunch of calls tonight. Talking to General Manager Mark Dominic. We got Jay, Greg, Chad, Elton, Mike. Sounds like a singing group. Bobby. Let's go with Bobby next. Bobby wants to talk about the draft, and we kind of led off with that going into the break. So, Bobby, welcome. You're on with Mark Dominic.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Bobby. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fine, Mr. Dominic. Happy New Year to you.
You as well.
I got comment and a question for you. I'm a 20-plus year season ticket holder over there. And first of all, I want to commend you and your staff on having an eye for the talent and bringing these guys in and making the Bucks games enjoyable and putting the fun back into it. It's been a real pleasure to watch Josh come along over, I guess you could say, the last year and a half. And as you both know, you know, in this league, anybody can beat anybody on any given Sunday. And it's all about, you know, in my opinion, peaking at the right time going into the playoffs, so to speak. But to watch this man throw five touchdown passes in a game is just unbelievable, and you know, thanks for the accomplishment. My question to you is: with all the guys that have been hurt on defense this year, and it seemed like, you know, and Ledge has said it in the past, you know, a couple of times, because I've been listening to you every night, it always seems like it comes in twos. Do you guys go heavy in a defensive back position this year in the draft, being that it seems like we're pretty solid all around the rest of the team?
Well, Bobby, number one, let me start out by saying one thing. You know, our season ticket holders that are there every week are really important to us. And having a 20-year season ticket holder, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. That does mean a lot to me. I know it means a lot to everybody in the building that you continue to support our team. Even on a cold night against the Seattle Seahawks, I think you got to see something really special that night, because that was the first time I really think our offense really started really clicking and really coming together as what we want to be. We're a fun football team to watch. And this league, a lot of the rules are built around being an offensive threat. And so to see, obviously, Mike Williams and Kellen Winslow step through, and LeGarrette Blount and Cadillac Williams and all these guys, and certainly the quarterback, it's something we really wanted to build. And it was great to have you a part. So thank you again for being a season ticket holder. We appreciate it. As part of the injuries on defense, you know, we have had a lot of multiple injuries per, you know, obviously Aurelius Ben's down and we had to place him on IR, and Ernest Graham's not going to be able to go this week, which is disappointing. Hopefully we have more games to come ahead that we don't have to worry about him not coming back or have the opportunity to come back. But it's certainly been tough on the football team, but I've really been impressed with, like, the play of E.J. Biggers really stepping into a role where he was the nickel. Obviously, he had a tough year last year, too. He spent his season on IR. But this year he's come in, he stepped into the nickel role, and now he stepped into the starting role. It's allowed Myron Lewis to really get a lot of experience this year, especially in his rookie year. And then Rondi Barber keeps playing well in the back end. Corey Lynch has stepped in. But you saw Larry Asante, a guy that we got off the Cleveland Browns practice squad a couple weeks ago, step in and play in the fourth quarter. We acquired a kid named Dominic Harris last week from the Buffalo Bills practice squad. He may get a hat on this week back there at safety. We're certainly looking forward to Cody Grimm will have a healthy recovery. He'll come back. Sean Jones is under contract next year. So we feel pretty good about that unit, and certainly Talib is under contract as well. So I'm not going to give you any inside information on the DBs, but I do know that the guys that are hurt should have full recoveries, and the guys that are on this football team are gaining a lot of experience as we go forward.
Depth is going to be a great thing. It's kind of curious when you're rebuilding a team and you come in with a young team, and you are a young team. You don't think young and depth go together.
Yeah, generally doesn't.
They normally don't go together.
I think a lot of people think that way, but I think our organization, from the coaching staff through the scouting department, are kind of doing something different. And we believe that our coaches do a great job of fundamentals. You know, we hired some really good coaches to help us over the last couple of years. And certainly last year with Eric Yarbert, receiver, obviously Alex Van Pelt at quarterback, and Jimmy Lake at the defensive backs mm-hmm. coach. You know, those guys have come in and really installed that fundamental football stuff that's so important for the development of young players. And so it's made us more able to go out there and get young players like an Al Woods and say, how fast can you get them up to speed? And they've got great energy, great intensity, and they got a great thirst. Because these players that either were waived or on somebody else's practice squad have been cut. And they've seen how hard it is to make a National Football League roster. So they come in with a little different chip on their shoulder, but they also appreciate the fact that we saw something in them. And Coach Morris does a fantastic job, and I think it's one of the best traits he had as a position coach and as a head coach, as he looks at each player and he says, what can they do? Don't tell me what they can't do. Let's figure out how can I use this guy. So he takes a Dakota Watson out of Florida State, and he's got him on the rush package and his Redskin three-down rush man. And Dakota runs all over the field and puts a two-point stance, a three-point stance, wherever he wants him, he uses him. And he finds what traits each guy can do, and he takes advantage of them. And that's a special head coach, and that's a guy that gets personnel as well. And that's why it's working here in Tampa.
When you draft a Cody Grimm, and you say, well, okay, he's a little short, he's a little underweight, his sideline speed, la, 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 la. And then you look at his instincts, and you say, well, you know, he's raised in a Grimm household, so, you know. But there are intangibles. There are intangibles to every athlete, aren't there?
There certainly are, and Cody's a prime example of that. You know, Tom Throckmorton was our area scout, and when we drafted him, he goes, you know, when he comes into that rookie minicamp, just, Mark, please, just don't look at him. Just try to watch what he does when the ball's in the air or as his pursuit angles, but don't look at the body. And Cody's actually, he's been a phenomenal guy, and he's one of those guys that the foundation that we want to be around. He's a great, and you've had him on the show, mm-hmm. he's a great guy on the football field. He's a great instinctive player, and he's a fantastic kid off the football field as well. And that's who we want to be, and that's what we are going to be, and that's what we're continuing to strive to be as we go forward.
There's something you talk about, but I'm going to let Jay ask the question. Jay, you're on next. This general manager to my left has a wonderful attribute. He's able to pick talent off of other squads, and we almost had I guess you guys like to refer to it as the second draft.
That's right.
If you will. Jay, welcome to the program.
Yes, hi, guys.
Hi, Jay.
Hey, Jay.
I am calling in, Mr. Dominic. I want to commend you on your eye for talent. It's been unbelievable, some of the finds you guys have made. You've got a roster full of those guys. One in particular that I was really happy to see was when you acquired Preston Parker. A lot of people don't remember that Preston Parker was the Mr. Everything at Florida State when they needed a play made on the offensive side of the ball. And due to off-the-field issues, he disappeared off the grid. But you guys did your homework, and you found him, and you got a special player there. And I really want to commend you guys on those types of finds. My question, and I hang up and listen, is when the draft rolls around, how much will the labor problems, the potential labor problems, affect how you guys proceed with who you may select and where?
Okay, Jay, those are two good questions, two good starts, and I appreciate the phone call. You know, Preston Parker was Mr. Everything, and in fact, he's actually been Mr. Everything here.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, we blitzed him off the backside. Coach Morris
playing safety.
Yeah, Coach Morris came up with a game plan because he's such a physical young man. He's been a great special teams player for us. He obviously was clutch last week when he made the big catch. He's done a lot of great things for us since he's been with this organization. And, you know, when you're an undrafted free agent, you know, Byron Kiefer, one of our area scouts, was one of the guys that was really hot on him. And so as soon as the draft was over, I walked over to Byron and said, how's Preston going? He goes, I'm on the phone with him now. I said, well, get him to Tampa. And so, you know, we got him here, and we've been very happy with that kind of a signing. And we do a lot of homework on these guys. We spend a lot of time making sure it's the right type of guy that can fit into our organization, and Preston's been that. In terms of the draft and the labor issues, it doesn't change anything for what we can do. Once we draft a player, we tender the player. All right, after that, there's not going to be any more. There won't be any contract negotiations or anything until the labor issues are all worked out. But we'll certainly tender the player. And so the draft really doesn't change at all from the way we look at it, the way we're going to approach it. We've changed a lot of things over the last 2 years, and we've really challenged our scouts and our directors to how to work the draft to the best of our ability. and they've done that. But in terms of anything changing or anything that we're going to do differently, you know, we did a little tweaking in the backside of some of these reports that we asked our college guys to do, but that's going to go status quo.
You, Sammy Strotter, Eric Lorig, I look at seventh-round guys. Is a seventh-rounder isn't a throwaway draft pick. Maybe when they used to have 12 rounds, you would think, oh, you can throw a couple away. But now you're only allowed to have that many, and you've just gotten this wonderful record of bringing – and we just talked about Cody Grimm, too – another seventh-rounder. But the second draft, if you will, are guys that you had targeted that you weren't able to draft, and LeGarrette Blount is a perfect example of that. And you've done it, obviously. I think you even had your eyes a little bit on Desmond Briscoe before Cincy found a way to him. So you don't get them coming in August, but how do you follow them, or who follows them and keeps track of them? Is it like, you know, you're just keeping an eye on specific players? Is there a second draft board? How does that work?
You know, it's a preparation for going into the 2010 draft and really getting everybody on board from the coaching and scouting and front office standpoint to do as much research as we can on each individual player. So that way the guys that we have on our perimeter or premier list are the guys that we really want to attack.
Brian Price and Gerald McCoy.
Right,
and
but there also was a Ted Larson on that list, and LeGarrette Blount was under discussion. Certainly Desmond Briscoe was one of those guys. We liked Al Woods. And so those guys were all on because you can't really, the day before the draft, you're not sure how it's all going to fall out. So you're prepared to take a defensive tackle in the third or fourth round if you don't take one in the first and second round. And so those players we continue to monitor and follow through the preseason. And a lot of that's like a Desmond Briscoe or LeGarrette Blount, you know, are guys that we brought in here when we have 30 players to interview pre-draft. We actually kind of bring 30 guys into the building and spend a day with them. Those two guys were part of that 30-man draft visits to really get to know them. So if we weren't able to select them, if they ever became available again, we'd be ready to go. Same with Ted Larson being a local man who played around here in Dunedin. You know, we liked him in the draft. We just didn't have a selection between where our last pick was and
New
our
England
next pick.
Got him in third?
No, they took him in the sixth round.
Sixth round.
Sixth
okay.
round for Ted Larson. And as soon as he came available, we go back. And when we're on the road in those preseason games, those are long days. But we take projectors with us. We take film with us. And we put it up actually on the wall. And we watch tape. And we'll sit there and watch, you know, LeGarrette Blount run, or we'll watch Al Woods play, or we'll watch Teddy Larson or Desmond Briscoe, and we'll go back over the guys that were our hot list guys, as we call them, or our premier list guys, and then we'll go back and follow their careers. And if they become available, we have a chance to either claim them off practice squad or claim them off of waivers, and we'll do that.
What are these players told? Oh, I'm being brought in. I'm on another practice squad. It doesn't seem like they get that speech when they come here. It seems like they're told you're not some throwaway tackling dummy. You know, you're not Rudy getting beat up every practice. You know, you're not running the – you might run scout team and you might do special teams, but you leave the door open for them. If you excel, you can find a place here.
That's the
it
mindset.
It just seems to me if I'm coming in as some young player and I'm going from one practice squad to another, I'm thinking, oh, well, why is it special to be on your practice squad?
Well, number one, we always try to look to our practice squad first. I think we started the season – week one with eight guys in our practice squad. Six of those have been promoted to our team. Two of them aren't on there. But then we added two guys to replace them the second week, and those two players have been up. And so we see our practice squad as exactly what it's supposed to be, which is a developmental squad. It's not for practice. It's to develop.
Wasn't that what it was originally called?
That's what it was called. And yeah. Coach Morris and the coaches have absolutely, again, they've gone right to it, and they see it as the same thing. So when we need to go, the next man up comes from there. Or if it can't come from there because it's another position, then we go out and find somebody else on the development squad, and we take them. But, you know, Doug Worthington, we brought him up today because of the injury to Aurelius Ben. You know, he's been on our practice squad for about 8 or 9 weeks now, and he's proved his worth, both in terms of his work ethic and his practice habits, to earn a spot on this 53-man roster. And whether he contributes in this game or not, he's earned it. And really, we want that message out there for the future, too. You know, because there is a lot of guys that do not go drafted, or there's a lot of guys that make decisions in the future about whether they want to be on a practice squad here or there. And people look at ours and say, that's where you go because you can get promoted, and they'll continue to develop you and be a part of that football team.
That's Mark Dominic, general manager of the Buccaneers, taking your phone calls at 813-990-4620, 727-461-4620, or 1-800-596-BUCKS. Elton, stand by. We're coming to you right after Mike. Mike, you're on with Mark Dominic. Welcome to the show.
Thanks a lot, guys. It seems like a broken record, but I really do need to give Mr. Dominic all the kudos he deserves, the whole staff over there. And you guys have just done a fantastic job the last 2 years in the draft and, like you said, the second draft in choosing personnel. And not only that, but what you guys have done with them after you get them on the squad. I mean, it's
it's been a joy to watch as a real fan. And it's a great feeling, and I really, really appreciate what you guys have done over there. My question is I noticed it doesn't get talked much about, and it seems like it may have made a really big difference. When you guys chose a lot of your draft picks, most of them seem to be team captains. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct, Mike. That's absolutely right. There's been a lot of them that have been team captains.
And it seems like that's probably made a big difference in the mindset, the leadership, the intelligence level. I mean, pretty much every level that you want a player to excel at, those kind of players end up being team captains. And if you have a team that is, basically full of guys who really understand that mindset, that philosophy, I guess clearly it's made a big difference. Is that something you guys plan on doing more in the future, like with the upcoming draft and even when you guys pick guys off of practice squads and stuff? Is that still one of the things that you guys want a check mark next to that box when you guys pick a guy?
That's exactly right, Mike, and that's the way we look at it. As you know, we knew what happened 2 years ago when we let go of a lot of veteran talent and a lot of leadership off this football team, that we needed to have young guys that could step up quickly. And to me, when you're elected a team captain at any level, that says a lot about who you are on and off the football field. And you obviously have a lot of young people that are looking up to what you are as a role model on and off the football field. So we focused on that. In fact, our scouts are notified to make sure that when they walk into those meetings that we start in February, when we actually start to get together and get the draft meetings that are conducted, that's one of the first things they'll hit, was this guy a team captain? Now we've actually made it a thing on the report. We actually follow military kids that were from military families. Sure. I think that's an important part because there's a lot of structure in military families. My wife's born into a military family, and she certainly has a lot of structure in our day-to-day life. And so I think that's really important as well. And so when we look at football people, football players, we look at a lot of different elements, and we find out as much as we can, and we dig into them. Some guys, like a Mike Williams, we go all the way back to third-grade teachers in elementary school.
He actually told us there we were sitting in the chair you're sitting in, and he actually said, yeah, they talked to my third-grade teacher. I thought he was joking.
No, that's absolutely the truth, because those sure. Even teachers and any type of educator that's ever been around a player is another thing that we really try to follow, because educators see what they're like on and off the football field and their commitment to trying to improve, and that's really important to us as well. So those are all elements, but team captains is a big one here, and it's certainly something that we're going to continue to move forward doing within this organization.
Next man up, as they say here at One Buck Place, is Elton. Elton, you're on with Mark Dominic.
Yes, guys. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I want to start off by saying the best gift I got for this Christmas season was a Bucks T-shirt, and so far I've worn that thing proud. I want to say that I sit there every morning on my way to work. There's a guy that does a show from 6 to 9 on this radio station and slams the Bucks. You know, he slammed ownership. He slammed management. You, Mr. Dominic, coaching staff, that we had no scouts. And, you know, all this negativity on this radio station, which I don't even understand how that comes about. But, okay. And then I read these so-called journalists that, you know, well, we all know stats are for losers. You know, that, again, slams the box. You know, nothing positive, only this negative vibe. So my question to you is, how does it feel? And you probably couldn't tell me in your own words, but how does it feel? I just want to hear it from you, that you could sit there and shut these guys' pie holes. Thank you.
Hey, wow. Elton, hey, thanks. Number one, thanks for the phone call, and I'm glad you got a Bucks shirt, and you keep wearing it proud, because we want to be that team that you're proud to wear their jersey or their T-shirts every day. You know, for us and for Coach Morris, too, is, you know, Coach does a great job. He doesn't read a lot of media. He doesn't listen to a lot of media. He does his job, and he stays the course. And that's been the most important for us, is staying the course. And the reality is, we understand 3-13 was a tough season. We're really proud of where we're at today at 9-6 because of what we're doing and the players that we have here. And so, Elton, when you talk about our team and you're excited about wearing our T-shirt, that's who we want to be. We want people to really embrace this team and become big fans of Aurelius Ben and Mike Williams and all the different players that are on, certainly Josh Freeman, all the different players that are on that. And, you know, respect takes time. It's earned slowly. And that's the way we look at it from the organization. But we want to do what we did this last week, is we want, when people can afford to come back to games, we want to give them a reason to come back to the games. Part of that's what we do on the field. Part of that's what we do off the field. And that's why we're so excited about this 2010 season and where we're at right now up to week 17.
That's Mark Dominic. We'll come back and take more of your questions and finish it up for a Wednesday night. Don't forget Josh Freeman. We'll do his show tomorrow night here on Buccaneers Total Access. It is the Buccaneers Radio Network. Coming back.
Buccaneers Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
Eric, Sean, Bob, Jim. Good. We got to about a dozen calls. I want to make sure we got to a lot of people. We're not going to be able to get to any more callers, but some good calls. I think everybody covered the gamut of all the important questions, but we only got about 2 or 3 minutes left, Mark. First of all, congratulations on a 9-win season, and let's just hope that's 10 wins.
Thanks, Ledge.
A breakout season for many young players, really not just saying, well, they have potential. We saw the potential. We're seeing the potential. So with this game to finish up and with what's going to be a great 2011 season, give us some final thoughts for Buck fans to ponder over for a couple of weeks here.
Well, I think there's a lot of things to talk about. I think, number one, obviously, we hit on it a couple times, and it starts with that number, jersey number 5, and just what he's done. And just to kind of sit back, I think once the season's finally finalized in whatever week of the season, the year that is, I think a lot of fans will look back and say, this is a fun young football team to continue to root for. And we really still believe that the best is yet to come and what we've got going forward. And certainly we have a lot of good core players to build around offensively. And we feel like we have some really good players on defense as well. And we're not a finished product at this point. And I would like to think we are, but we're not. And we're going to continue to work to acquire talent and to continue to build this football team into what can be, as we talk a lot of times here, a lasting contender. And the belief and the mindset here is to continue the ship and continue to move forward. I've really enjoyed – it's been fun to be on the show. I'll certainly say that. And, you know, the neat thing, it's only an hour, but I swear I could sit here for 4 hours and just talk about this football team, because I am proud of what the coaches have done, what the players have done, what the staff has done, and what we've done here as an organization and the direction we're going. I think the national media is really getting a hold of it as well. They're really starting to run. They're doing a couple of really neat pieces about Coach Morris here in the next month or so. And certainly our players are nominated weekly. This week was LeGarrette Blount nominated for Runner of the Week, FedEx mm-hmm. Run Ground. Josh Freeman is FedEx Air Player. We've been nominated 13 weeks now for Rookie of the Week. So nationally they're seeing what's going on in Tampa, you know, and some of the guys don't get all the hoopla and the accolades that they deserve. But a Teddy Larson, who's come in here and played so well for us this year, or certainly what Roy Miller's playing dramatically better this year than he did last year. And no one talks about it, but that's okay, because the bottom line is our coaches watch the film, our scouts watch the film, and that's part of the results that we're having, is the way that these players are playing on this football team. E.J. Biggers, that's why I could sit here for a long time, because like to talk about
every
each
guy's a story too, sure.
It is, yep. And there's a good story behind each guy. And I'm really proud that they're on this football team. And I hope and I know that a lot of Buccaneer fans will continue to embrace this football team as they get to meet and learn who this football team is off the field, and as we continue to show them what we are on the football field. And we've got a huge test this weekend against the New Orleans Saints. And certainly they're playing for a first-round, not only first-round bye, but the number one seed overall in the entire NFC dance. So it's going to be a good test for us. I'm looking forward to it. And I'm really proud again, and I'm thankful for where we're at. But I look forward to where we're going.
Good job, man. You need to do a radio show.
No, it's okay.
Hey, we're out of time, but you know what? I want to tell fans, fall in love with the Bucs all over again. You know, I know you got a 55 jersey in your closet. Nothing wrong with that, but go out and get a 19 jersey. Go out and get a number 5 jersey and fall in love with the Bucs all again. Mark, great job.
Ledge, thanks for having me on.
Happy New Year, man. Let's
go
get
Bucs.
10 wins. You got it. Go Bucs. Everybody have a great night. We'll talk to you tomorrow night for the Josh Freeman Show right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.
You've been listening to Buccaneers Total Access on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.